We're in lesson 55 in the book of Daniel. And if you went through the school, Grace School of Bible, you know that this material is very, very important to our Bible study. You would actually be in lesson 28, but we're in lesson 55, and we're just taking our time through it. I always say that we have between now and the catching away of the body of Christ to study the Word of God, and He has given us some time to study this Word. And if you think about Daniel is in captivity for 70 years, and this is where we're at in Daniel chapter 9. And he's putting things together by studying the books, and we're starting, go to Daniel chapter 9 verse 11, and then when he's talking about, verse 11, he begins to describe the curses that are recorded against them, Israel, in the law of Moses. And we'll go down through this confession, if you will. Daniel chapter 9, verse 11. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses is the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. You see, Daniel understands the stuff, if you will, that was in Leviticus chapter 26. Now, we went over that last week. I'm not going back over it again. But study Leviticus chapter 26 sometime and look at those five courses of judgment that is going to be poured out and has been poured out on the nation Israel, not the body of Christ. The body of Christ has not been formed yet, okay? The body of Christ is still hid in God. Praise God, hallelujah. But now it's made known. We might talk about that later. Verse 12, Daniel chapter 9, verse 12. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not had done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that he might turn from our iniquities, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Now, you see, Daniel, what is he reading here? What does he have? Copies of the what? God's word. He has the law of Moses. And he says, as it is written in the law of Moses. So he's not just passing it down orally like Adam had to do. If you remember, when Adam didn't have a written word of God, God spoke with him, and Adam taught his children what God wanted them to do. In fact, Adam also had the zodiac, if you will. And the zodiac at the time had lined up with what God was doing. Not like it is today. You don't look at the stars today to find out what God is doing. They're corrupt right now. They're telling a different plan of salvation. But before the written word of God, that's how God saw some things. And he studied them. And, that's what we call in the Bible preservation. You know, God preserves his word. And you see it throughout the word of God. And, you know, that's why we have Bibles to read. There's nobody has the original today. You do realize that, don't you? You know, they don't have them. So we have copies. That's how God preserves his word today, through the copies and using the church, using his people to do that. So, verse 14. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous, is in all his works which he doeth, for we obey not his voice. Now, you see that word evil there? Mm-hmm. Now, that word evil, in a sense, is something bad is happening to them. You know God will not, make them sin. God don't make you and I sin. You know that, don't you? Who does that? We do it, Okay? We do it. But God brings calamity and bad things and evil things upon them. That's what this is talking about. He brings judgment on them. Now, go to Isaiah 45. Go to Isaiah 45. There's a verse like this in Isaiah 45 that we're going to look at. And if you may have heard the term universal reconciliist. You know, people that thinks when it's all said and done, when this Bible's completed, when all this all done, God's going to reconcile everybody back to Him. They even say Satan's going to get saved when it's all said and done. You know that's not to be true. Satan was a liar from the beginning. Satan knows this book. Satan knows his destiny. And you know what he's doing? He's trying to convince everybody to follow him. You know, the Bible says that Jesus said that the hell was created for who? Satan and his angels. So that's why hell was originally created. But he had to enlarge it for people that refuses to believe that Christ died for their sins and buried and rose again. Okay? Listen, you're going to die. You're going to die by, if COVID don't get you, if you don't mind me saying that, it's appointed for man to die once, and then the judgment. If the Lord don't take us out of here, we're going to take the dirt bath eventually. So the thing is, when you die, if you die unsaved, that's the only unpardonable sin. You can't not pray somebody out of the grave. You cannot pray somebody out of purgatory to get them in heaven. You yourself has to make that choice. So they use this verse right here, where we're getting ready to say God is the author of sin. Well, God is not responsible for sin. God made Adam and Eve, and he gave them a choice. They chose. Eve was deceived. Adam made a choice. So God never violates our free will, okay, ever. And you got to remember that. He never does that. He never will do that. It's our choice to believe him and his word. So all kinds of people say everything that happens in the world have been determined to take place before the foundations of the world. Well, you know what that's an excuse of? That's just an excuse that you can blame God every time you sin. That's basically what it is. Listen, when you know who you are in Christ Jesus, if you sin, just own up to it. You know? Just own up to it. We live in the Galatian area, if you will, today. We live in the fact that if you reap what you sow, if you sow bad things, guess what crop you're going to bring? Bad things. But anyway, I think of counterfeits. You know, this is a mushroom season over here, and there's morel mushrooms in the refrigerator right now. They're this big. They're really nice, and they're like the land fish, they call them. And there's a counterfeit for that. If that mushroom is not right and hollow inside, and one's got spiders and cores and stuff like that, that's a fake mushroom.
Well, it's poisonous.
Well, yeah, poisonous, yeah. If you say. But it's still fake. It's counterfeit. Don't touch it. They counterfeit the Word of God. Don't touch it. You should know what it is. But anyway, that's a little side note. But look, people say that God could have stopped this, but he didn't, and so on. You know what Paul says? God forbid. God protests sins. He's against sin. He don't send you to sin. You do that. So once we come to knowledge of that and say, okay, I live in a sin-cursed world. There's sin around me. If I participate in it, that's my choice. But God is speaking in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7. God's speaking, Isaiah, I formed the light and created darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. So when somebody takes a verse and say God made sin, that is not what the verse says here. It says he made evil. And that evil is a sense of calamity and evil happenings. Evil in this verse is a contrast of what? Peace. You see that? It's peace. And the contract of the context of the whole chapter in Isaiah 45 is a reference of being restored from Babylon captivity by Cyrus. Remember we talked about that way over here. God says Cyrus is going to let them people go over here. Look at chapter 44 of Isaiah. Chapter 44 of Isaiah, verse 28. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Now, he goes, from there he goes right into Isaiah 45 verse 1. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I let loose the loins of kings to open before him to two leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. He talks about how Cyrus is going to come and tell Israel to go out of Babylon captivity and go back. It is prophecy. Okay? A couple other verses you look at right quick. Jeremiah 44. If you don't want to turn there, that's fine. I may be going a little fast. Mm-hmm. I'll slow down a little bit.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Jeremiah 44. And you're in Daniel 9 and in Nehemiah 9. If you don't want to turn to Nehemiah, that's fine. It's only got one little small verse. But here we go. Jeremiah 44, verse 27. Behold, I will watch over them for evil and not for good, and all the men of Judea that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine until there be an end of them. Daniel chapter 9, verse 7. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all of Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries, whether they have been driven them because of their trespass, and they have trespassed against thee. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 33. You don't have to turn there. You can write the reference down. Howbeit, that thou art just in all that is brought upon us, for thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. So what you have here in Isaiah 45, verse 7, is the word evil is reference to calamity and judgment and that kind of thing. Events that are bad happenings, that's evil. You think about things that's going around us right now, the calamity, and it's evil. Well, God didn't cause this virus to come down. So the calamity and evil, it's evil things out there. How are we supposed to stand against evil? You're supposed to stand against evil, right? You should know some things and all. But look, he is talking about God. He's not talking about God creating sin. And that is the same as what we're talking about in Daniel chapter 9, verse 14. Now look, what does that first word in Daniel chapter 14 says? Excuse me. Daniel chapter 9, verse 14.
Therefore.
The word for and therefore in verse 14 is there for a reason. You do know that. Therefore. Why is it therefore? Because it's back in verse 10. Look at verse 10. Neither have we obeyed the voice of our Lord our God to walk in his laws which he had set before us by the servants of the prophets. So verse 14, therefore. Okay? That's why it's there, and the evil happenings is upon them. Listen, when you was a kid and your parents told you to do some things and you didn't do them, what happened therefore? Some of you didn't get supper. Some of you had to do chores. Some of you had to sit in a corner. Some of you got lit up. Flame about that high, you know, that type of thing. But look, you got that for a reason, okay? And I'm not saying that to be ugly. I'm saying it because it happened.
Consequences.
Yes, consequences. Verse 15, back to Daniel chapter 9, verse 15. Daniel chapter 9, verse 15. And now, O Lord our God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and have gotten thee renown as of this day. We have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thy anger and thy fury be turned away from the city of Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for our iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become reproach to all that are about us. Now look, notice that it says, thy city, what? Where do you think that's at? Honestly, where do you think that's at? Because there was a preacher down in Virginia that has this big university that made you part of Israel, told you to open up your window, that's your Jerusalem. That's not true, guys. Jerusalem is in Israel. So don't believe that for a second. You don't have a Jerusalem outside your door, okay? You are not made a spiritual Jew today. And the city in the passage is the God city, Jerusalem. Now, I'm going to read a verse in Matthew chapter 5, verse 35 says, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. The city in the passage is Jerusalem. It describes a holy mountain. And that part of Jerusalem is called Mount Zion. It's God's city. Daniel chapter 17. Daniel chapter 17. By the way, that city, Jerusalem, it's not Cambridge, Ohio.
You mean verse 17?
Yeah, verse 17. Chapter 9, verse 17. It's not Canton. It's not Glade Springs, Virginia. It's not Abingdon, Virginia. It's Jerusalem, guys. Literally, physically, Jerusalem. Verse 17. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate. For the Lord's sake, O my God, incline thy ear and hear, open thy eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy what? Great mercies. Now, what city is this?
Jerusalem.
Now, you think Daniel is a smart guy? Would you think he is? You know what he doesn't say? Give me justice. He doesn't say, God, we got to take care of these people. We've been here 70 years. They oppressed us. He doesn't say that. What does he say? For all the evil of the being confined, being in captivity, what did he ask for?
His great mercies.
That's something to think about, guys. Now, all this stuff is coming down upon you, you know, and you think the world is against you and God's against you. No. What does Daniel say? Verse 19. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thy own sake, O my God, for the city and thy people are called by thy name. The city is who?
Jerusalem.
The people are the body of Christ, right? You sure?
Yes.
Who's the people, guys and gals?
The nation Israel.
That's right. It's Israel is thy people. They're over here. You're not thy people. In the dispensation of law, in the dispensation of the kingdom, you're the body of Christ in the dispensation of grace. Look, verse 20. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, who?
Israel.
Where you get that right there? Answer your question. And presenting my supplications before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of God. Now notice it says my people who?
Israel.
Thank you, Israel. Israel and Jerusalem are the issue in the passage. Why is that important? Why is Israel and Jerusalem important in a passage over here in Daniel? Now, we're studying Daniel in the reflection of what they're going to go through in ages to come. Daniel is not talking right here in a dispensation of grace. That's where we're at right here. But look, hold your finger there and go to verse 24. You want to see why it's important? 70 weeks are determined upon the body of Christ.
No.
Ed and Sherry.
No.
Upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgressions and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint thy most holy. The issue in the 70 weeks over there refers to who? Israel and what city? Jerusalem. Not the Gentiles. Not New York, Chicago, L.A., Atlanta, Miami. Not those cities. Not even Paris, London, and Riyadh. Not even Hong Kong. It's Israel, guys, and Jerusalem. That's kind of clear, isn't it? It should be. 70 weeks determined upon thy people. You're not going through that tribulation of the body of Christ.
Amen.
That's some really good news. Now, are your tribulations upon you today? Mm-hmm. Yes. People text me, and I talk to people all the time, and they're losing jobs, and their families are being destroyed, and, you know, alcoholism, and you know, just all kinds of things going on right now. That's tribulation. And man puts that up on man. God don't do that, guys. When God set the earth into motion, he has not stopped it. Okay? He has not put his finger on it and stopped it from spinning. Thank you. But anyway, 70 weeks deal with Israel and Jerusalem. Verse 20. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing what? Did you ever get a sense up to this point in Daniel that he was a very bad dude and was a sinner and needed forgiveness?
No.
You don't, do you? But he's acknowledging who he is. Mm-hmm. He's acknowledging the fact that Daniel confesses his sins too.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a great lesson here, guys, because he's not perfect. You know, you think of Joseph and Daniel and all these people that went in these captivities and stuff, and they stayed the course, but they're still not perfect. There's only one perfect person that ever came to this earth, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And he's confessing his sins, not just for Israel's sins, but his own sin. Because why? He's a part of that what? Nation. Verse 20. And confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Again, the holy mountain is Zion. Verse 21. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening obligation. Now, notice that Gabriel is called a what? Angel, right? No, what's Gabriel called?
The man.
The man. Gabriel is an angel, but he's a man. And once again, every angel in the Bible is a man. He comes down as a form of man. He's never a long-haired, blue-eyed, breasts as, you know, that type of two-winged. That's not an angel, guys. Beware of things like that. But he's a man. And he says, but he don't have wings, but he says that they what? Fly. Verse 21, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening obligation. Notice the time that he is praying. When is it?
In the evening.
He is praying that at the time they would have an evening sacrifice. Okay? And he's getting ready and he's fasting and going out in sackcloth and ashes, and he's going to do the business of God. Now, was there any evening sacrifices during their captivity? No, the answer is no, guy. Where was Jerusalem at? Jerusalem, you know, was conquered. Where are they at? The temple was destroyed, and Jerusalem is in captivity in Babylon. So Daniel opens his doors toward Jerusalem, where the temple would be, and he comes and takes a time to have his evening sacrifices. Listen, there's a provision in the Bible when they are away, and we might look at this a little bit, that no matter where you was at, captivity or far away, if you could not get back to Jerusalem, you had to turn to him and pray. Now look, there's no sacrifices there. But he's praying at the time they would be offering that evening sacrifices. Why is he doing that?
Because he lived under the law.
Okay, let me ask you this. The practicing Jew today, the Hebrew Jew, do they still do this? Where is their temple at? Jerusalem's destroyed. And I know they made synagogues. You read in the Bible, there's kings took Israel's, hey, let me make it easy for you. You don't have to go to Jerusalem. And they bought into that. But Daniel's away for 70 years, and he knows exactly what to do. He's not going down to a synagogue. He's praying towards Jerusalem, okay? And that's where go to Psalms chapter 141. There's something that a Jew was supposed to do when they didn't have an evening sacrifices. Psalms 141 is a Psalm of David, and Daniel has been reading and studying this, all this stuff. And David was in a position where he couldn't get to a sacrifice. Psalms 141 verse 1. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as what? And as incense. And the lifting of the hands as the evening what?
Sacrifice.
He's lifting his hands. David is praying, Lord, accept my prayers as though it's the offering sacrifice. So that's why he says, I don't have a sacrifice. I can't get one. Take my prayers as though it's a sacrifice. And Daniel doesn't have a sacrifice, does he? No, he doesn't. And he's, because he's in captivity. And the prayer that he knew God wanted to hear at the time of the sacrifice, as though they were an offering for sacrifice, was not available, is what he's praying. Father, forgive them, that type of thing. I'm confessing my sins and all that for the nation of Israel. Daniel's ready to go back. Daniel knows it's time to go back, and they got to get right. So he's open up his hand. And, you know, you people say this, with holy hands, praying to God, that's probably where they get this at. Verse 22, Daniel chapter 9, verse 22. Daniel chapter 9. In the next verse, it is Gabriel talking to Daniel now. And notice what he says about Daniel. In verse 22, Daniel chapter 9. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly what?
Beloved.
You think about that. Mm-hmm. This Gabriel, messenger of God, one of God's main angels, comes down and he says, what about Daniel? Greatly, he's a great man, guys. He's beloved in the courts of heaven. He's beloved up there. And therefore, to understand the matter and consider the vision. Daniel was a man that is in the courts of heaven. The powers and principalities and mights and dominion in heavenly places, they watched Daniel. And that he was right in line with what God was doing at that time. He got it out of God's word. See, he didn't go by winds of doctrine, ever toss him to and fro with ever winds of doctrine. He didn't work. He didn't go to a seance. He didn't look at the stars and say, "Oh Lord, what do you need me to do?" He didn't go to the mountains where they sacrifice babies and women and stuff like that. No, he got it in his word, and he stayed in his word. Daniel was a great, great man, guys, and they loved the man because they saw what God was doing and God was working in whose life? Daniel's life. And they saw Daniel lining himself up with God's program. What program was that? The dispensational law, okay? That's what he was in. And they saw Daniel lining up and honoring God's program and taking off with that. And Daniel's right in line with God was doing. Look. Can you think of a parallel passage today that would affect you and I in this sense? I'm sure you can probably think of quite a few. But we're not in a dispensation of law. We're in a dispensation of grace. God has showed mercy and grace to all of us. Okay? Every one of the epistles that Paul wrote, he writes 13 epistles, and every one of them starts out with grace and peace. Grace and peace. It's different between war and judgment. God is not placing judgment on us today. We should be thankful for that. Amen. Okay? If you're in Christ, you're not being judged for your sins. Now, if you do things that causes your body to die, that's what you're being judged for. But God, well, let's look at this for a minute. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. I knew that's the verse you're looking at. Okay? Ephesians chapter 3, and there's many, many more, but Ephesians chapter 3. What do you know about the book of Ephesians as we teach the word of God rightly divided? It's the second book of doctrine. First book of doctrine for the body of Christ is Romans. Then Corinthians is a book of reproof. Then Galatians, a book of corrections. Then you come to Ephesians. Ephesians is a book of doctrine. It's about advanced mystery truths. It does not go back over and over in the fact that you lost, you got to get saved. No. The book of Ephesians written with the understanding that you know who you are in Christ. It's forever settled that you're justified. It's forever settled that you're sanctified. It's forever settled that you're glorified. And the book of Ephesians is about a mystery truth, advanced mystery of truth. It talks about the heavenly places, the principalities and powers. But look at verse 8. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 8. Paul says, "Unto me, who am less than least of all the saints, is this grace given." Now, Paul does just what Daniel does. He says, "I'm a big nobody." And he says, he takes the least of all the saints. He's putting himself down below everybody else. That's a good position to be. You're not lifted up holier than thou type of thing. But he's there where he needs to be. Because, you know, he was... Listen, don't think Paul wasn't a big to-do guy. Look at his pedigree in Philippians. Okay? He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. He was moving up through that system. Not only that, he was a Roman citizen. He had it going on in this world. Both sides of it. But he says, "I am least than the least." Less than least. I always get that mixed up for some reason. Paul said that if he could do it, then anybody can do it. Now, Paul's our pattern. Now, many of you can, you know, whenever you get sit down, you got an idea. If you don't put that pattern on paper, sometimes it gets distorted. You know, I know some of you go to tattoo parlors. There's a commercial said, you know, "Aren't you going to, you know, use a pattern?" No, man, stay in your lane, bro. You know, he's going to allow that guy to draw whatever he's in his mind. You don't do that. We have a pattern. You know, you'd end up with a lake. I don't know what you would end up with, but it would be a mess. Been there, done that. Believe me. But anyway, look, it says verse 8, "And to me, unto me, who am less than least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among who? the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know, this message of grace is magnified. It's unsearchable. Verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by what?
Jesus Christ.
Now, if you got a perversion, that last word, created all things by Jesus Christ, is not in there. Now, all things are created by Jesus Christ, period. That's the purpose. That's why Satan hates this thing. But look, this is why they want all men to see the fellowship of mystery. Verse 10, to the intent that now the principalities and powers in heavenly places, upon the position of rank authority in the universe, are out there. Now, is that what Gabriel said? You're highly favored. And in the courts. The courts, principalities, powers. There's a government structure up there, guys, that's still there. There's a government structure here on earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. The whole theme of your Bible, from the beginning to end, from kiver to kiver, is about a throne over the internal universe. It's about power. And who wants that power? Satan. He's the god of this world. He's also known as what? The prince of power of the air. Listen, you might have heard me say this. You heard the greatest prince. There's three heavens. There's the blue skies that you see. There's where the stars are at and where God's at, the third heaven. The first and second heaven is controlled by Satan, the prince of power of the air. There's principalities and powers and might in heavenly places, it says. And they're up there. And this position of rank and authority out there might be known by to the church, the manifold wisdom of who?
God.
Look, what's he doing? Might be known. Those principalities, whether they're fallen Satan or still in God's control, if you will, they're seeing you and I here today. And he says that they look down here and they see you lining up with what God's doing in the world. Listen, if you're lining yourself up with the world, you're not helping those angels up there. You're not helping anybody up there. They're looking at you like, oh man, you know, Lord, send me down there. No, they got my word. They got my word. I sent my son down there. I sent my apostles down there. I love the fact when Lazarus and the rich man was in hell, and there was a fixed gulf so the rich man could see Lazarus over there, and he asked the Lord to send Lazarus back to tell my brothers they don't want to come here. And he said, well, you had Abraham. And the fathers, they're not going to believe him. I still believe this today. If the Lord Jesus Christ today, if you was a true Bible believer and believe what you would look for, and the Lord was here, you know him. And we've mentioned this before. There's plenty of Bible-believing people know who Jesus Christ was on this earth. But look, he sees you lining up with what God is doing in the world. We see it and recognize it, and we stand in it. Listen. My cousin down in Virginia, he's an Earnhardt fan. You know, many of Earnhardt's fans, he always jazzed me about it. I'm an Elliott fan, a Ford guy at the time. And he always pokes, and he's got his brothers convinced that Earnhardt's the man. But I'm like, well, I just have to stand alone. I ain't afraid to stand what I believe what's right, guys. And when it comes to the Word of God, I'm going to stand by it rightly divided. I'm a dispensationalist. When it comes to knowing that I have the Word of God in written form, it's a King James Bible for the English-speaking people. Okay? I stand on that. You're not moving me. You're not moving my wife. Many people's tried. But look, doing just what Daniel did, getting in line with what and doing what was required and having God's purpose living in our lives, he says they see the manifold wisdom of God. Listen, a lot of people are saying, praise God, hallelujah, that they trust God, Christ died and buried and rose again. But they're not lining themselves up with what God is doing in the dispensation of grace. Can I share this with you? It's so much better to be in a dispensation of grace and have liberty and enjoy life than it ever was being under the law. To have somebody constantly put their thumb on you and tell you what you have to do, there's no joy in that. So when you line up yourself with what God is doing in dispensation of grace, he says you're accepted in the blood. And if Daniel was greatly beloved in the courts of heaven, how much more in you and I are sit in Christ Jesus today are accepted in the blood. You're in Ephesians, look Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We used to have this on our license plate. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6. It says, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." We're already there if you're saved today. Verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath or have before ordained that we should walk in them." He laid it out for us to walk in them. It's already there. When you're walking in Jesus, it's a whole lot easier than walking in ourselves. I stumble. I fall. You know, yesterday I was determined to run 5K, okay? 3.5 miles. And I'm stumbling around this house like I'd much rather do something else. So from here to there, it's 1 mile. I did make it a mile back, you know, and you know, it's 9 minutes and 30 some seconds. That's slow. My son looked at me like, you know, we used to do like 2 miles for that, that type. But look, I purposed that, you know, I wanted to do that, but that was me. Now, as I was running, I'm trying to stay healthy, guys. I'm trying to stay healthy. I believe that we should be a healthy members of the body of Christ, okay? Because God is, he lives inside of us. That the God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living in the hearts of the believers. And you're the temple, okay? So let's go on with the program. But look, go to with me 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look, when we get in line with God and right dispensation, he builds. It builds on eternal treasures. Okay? It's just not of this world. You know, we see things all the time about this COVID and how people, you know, preachers talking about they go on Facebook and people's, you know, political this and political that and, you know, this and that. Hey, it's your Facebook. If I don't like what you say, I don't follow you. I'm sorry. But that's your Facebook. It don't make you less of a saint of the Most High God if you're saved, okay? But think about this. What we're doing today in a dispensation of grace builds on what he's going to place us in the heavenly places. You're not, when you die and go to heaven, you're not coming back and living with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Daniel, and all that stuff. You're going to be placed in a position in the heavenly places where there's principalities and powers. You do know when Satan fell, he convinced one third of that angelic beings and they followed him. There's a void up there in this principalities and powers and places that he's going to place the members of the body of Christ up there. Now look, when it's all said and done, Christ is going to have heaven and earth in all his dominion. So I do believe if you want to go to Jerusalem on furlough, then you can go to Jerusalem. He's not, wherever Christ is, you're going to be. So it's going to be a great kingdom when it's all said and done. And we're all going to glorify God no matter what you're doing. You're not going to sit up there, well, you know, Daniel, he got more rewards than I do. No, that's sin. You're going to put the mind of Christ. You and I can think about what we're going to have right now in heavenly places. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. "For we are laborers together with him. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." That's what I was talking about. You are God's building. God does not dwell in temples made with what? Hands. He dwells in the hearts of believers. "According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder." Now, we talk about Paul's a pattern. Paul's also a wise master builder. And he says, "I have laid the foundation, and another build thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." Listen, we talked not so long ago about preaching another Jesus. There's an earthly Jesus that people preaches. There's a kingdom Jesus that people preaches. But a lot of us preach the glorified risen Lord Jesus. And he laid some foundation. Verse 11. For other foundations can no man lay that is laid, which is who?
Jesus Christ.
Listen, Peter laid the foundation. We always talk about this, the duplex. A duplex home has the same foundation. Then he had two houses in that with one roof. Okay? Jesus Christ is the foundation. The Word of God is the roof. But there's two entities, two dwelling places. Here's the kingdom for Israel, and the kingdom for the body of Christ in heavenly places. But verse 12. Now, if any man build upon the foundations gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Okay, you see those building stones? Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Mm-hmm. Okay? And what's it going to be? It'll be tried by fire. And if any man's work abide which he build thereupon, he shall receive a what? Reward. That's what we're working for in the dispensation of grace of God. You know, the reward that we have eternally. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by what?
Fire.
Listen, that wood, hay, and stubble, we built a fire out here Friday night. Mm-hmm. Beautiful fire, nice night. It kept us warm. Wood, hay, stubble. Burns. Three little pigs. You know, what did they build? Okay, two of them built it out of hay and wood. Mm-hmm. Stubble, whatever. The other one built it out of bricks. Okay? We need to build our foundation in Jesus Christ, in the dispensation of grace, through God's Word, through our Apostle Paul. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ, with gold, silver, and precious stones. That's knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. You build your foundation with that, it's going to last eternally. And those people up there watching you right now, the angelic beings over the world right now, has never in their eternal creation life have ever been exposed to the dispensation of the grace of God. It's always been wrath. It's always been judgment, okay? They're learning about the grace and the mercy that God has bestowed upon us, through us, and we're teaching those. We're teaching those people. But look, whatever the circumstances today, whatever situations today, you need to function our situation according to the doctrine that God is operating today. Daniel was operating in the capacity of what God was doing in time past. He had the Word. Daniel did not have Romans through Philemon. Now you and I have Romans through Philemon to allow us to have the esteem and details of our life, what God wants us to do by what He's through Romans through Philemon. That's why it's very, very important when we study the Word of God. There's threefold division: times past, but now, and ages to come. And if you understand what God is doing, but now, right now, it will affect your life in any situation. Proper worship, looking at things the way God does, and that's the way we should be. And that's what Daniel was doing, because Daniel did that. God gave him fascinating understanding about a prophetic program. You think about that for a second. He gave him the understanding of what God was going to do. More understanding of what he already knew. So, today, the Bible that you know, that you grew up with, all the learning, the teachings that you've been taught, if you understand it rightly, dividing the word of truth and put it where it needs to be, I guarantee you that the Bible will come alive more so than it ever did in your whole entire life. When you know what God is doing in the dispensation of grace, and you know that He's not bestowing wrath and judgment on you, and He's showing mercy and grace, and how to live the grace life, and understanding all that, you tend not to put people under the law. Now, we still do. You have house laws. If I had a coffee table in here, I wouldn't want you to put your feet up on my coffee table. I might just have to smack them off there. You know, there's footstools all over his place, but don't put it on my coffee table. We love you. But anyway, let's go to the word and prayer. Father, once again, thank you for the time. Thank you for the things you've given us. And as we think about what we studied in Daniel so far and how it was affecting his life and the impact was eternal in the heavenlies, we also can understand what God is doing today in the dispensation of grace. And Lord, if there's one person out there that's not really truly understood that you came to this earth and died and was buried and rose again for our justification, let them do so by just believing it. You didn't see it. You don't pay for it. You just believe it. And they become saved, and then they come to the knowledge of the truth, Lord. And that's what we're here to do, to expound the word of God rightly divided. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Another thought, you can go to www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. If you like what you're hearing, I know many people want to know how they could help support. There is a donate button there. You can donate, you can leave your bank account, it's your firstborn. Just joking. But anyway, you can go there and donate to ministry, or you can email me, and I'll tell you otherwise. But anyway, enjoy your day. Enjoy who you are in Christ Jesus. And this will be up on YouTube later on. But by all means, get out, enjoy yourself, and know who you are in Christ Jesus. Thank you.